بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Before we do a summary of whatever was recited in the Taraweeh last night, we will read this kitab which concerns aqaid, that is beliefs. We will read a few lines every day inshallah, and then we will do the Quran translation inshallah. Aqaid, that is the importance of aqaid. From the Quran and Hadith, we learn that the most valuable treasure is Iman, and the greatest calamity is Kufr, that is disbelief. Everlasting success is the result of Iman, while everlasting loss is the consequence of Kufr. Allah Ta'ala states, "It is He who has created you. However, some amongst you are kafir, disbelievers, and some amongst you are believers." Mankind is divided into two groups. One is the disbeliever who is ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. He has been ungrateful, rebelled, and made treason against his Creator. For him is everlasting punishment in the hereafter. As for the believer, he submits to the command of Allah Ta'ala. He is grateful, accepts the sovereignty of Allah Ta'ala, and affirms his rule. For the believer, the reward is great. He has been promised lofty mansions in the gardens of paradise, peace, and perpetual happiness. Righteous deeds are only acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if Iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted for reward in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala states, "Whoever practices righteous deeds, be it male or female, while he or she is a believer, verily they will enter Jannah." The first question posed to a person in the grave will be regarding beliefs. As far as those whose beliefs are not correct, that is the disbelievers, the righteous deeds will not be acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala and in the hereafter. Aqaid are like roots and actions are like branches. Just how branches grow because of the roots, similarly beliefs are a source of actions, are the source of actions. Thus the greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, which in fact is the prime object of coming into this world. Secondly, one must realize that from all the religions, Islam is the chosen religion by Allah Ta'ala himself, and the rightful inheritors and true followers of Islam are the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'at. These two facts are proven theoretically and logically. Thirdly, one has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'at are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and all of them remain steadfast on those beliefs without any difference. Later on, people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah remained staunch on the beliefs of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and Hadith. We will continue starting with the beliefs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow inshallah. Alhamdulillah, last night in the first Taraweeh, the first 1 1/4 para was recited, commencing with Suratul Fatiha, and about half of Suratul Baqarah was also recited. Suratul Fatiha, the opening chapter, is also called Ummul Quran and Asasul Quran. The reason being that the basic fundamentals of Iman and Islam, as outlined throughout the Quran and Majid, the basis and the essence of all these are mentioned and alluded to in this surah. These are the beliefs of Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Risalat, Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam, and also the belief concerning Akhirat and Qiyamat. The first Second and the fourth ayat refers to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third ayat of Suratul Fatiha, Maliki Yawmiddin, refers to the aqidah and belief of the year after. And the remaining ayat indicate towards the beliefs of Risalat and Nabuwat. Since Suratul Fatiha is read in every rakat of every salat by every person, so that is why we will just translate this Suratul Fatiha, so that when we recite Suratul Fatiha, we can also ponder over its meaning. And since it contains the glimpse of the contents of the entire Quran and Majid, so in every salat, at least we will have that glimpse of the message of the Quran and Majid at heart when we read it with understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who is the Rabb, who is the nurturer and the sustainer and cherisher and creator of all the whole universe. Alameen refers to all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creations. This declaration itself indicates towards the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all praise in essence belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Every bounty, every ni'mat which we see anywhere around, although we might praise a person, but in essence the praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This already cuts off the root of shirk and affirms the first and basic fundamental of iman, that is tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions his attributes, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. These words, Ar-Rahman and Rahim, we translated as the most compassionate and the most merciful. But the actual meaning of these words, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, cannot be really encompassed in our translations. The Mufassirin explained that Ar-Rahman is that being whose mercy is Amur-Rahma. And Ar-Rahim, Tamur Rahma. Amur Rahma means whose mercy is all embracing, whose mercy is all encompassing and inclusive to every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the exclusive attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ar-Rahim means Tamur Rahma, whose mercy is complete and perfect. So these attributes have been mentioned after the first attribute of Rabbil Alameen, to indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the sustainer, nourisher, nurturer of all of creation, is not through any compulsion of any because of any need or necessity, but it is only and solely due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assumed the responsibility of Rabb for the whole of the universe. Further on, the fourth attribute mentioned, Maliki Yawmiddin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner and the master of the day of retribution, that is the day of Qiyamah. And then we are told to declare that we are only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects, logically also, then worship should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Only you do we worship, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only you do we seek assistance from. Then we are taught a very comprehensive dua and a very important dua, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, that we should make this dua in every time we read Suratul Fatiha, that O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us towards the straight path. The straight path is that path in which there is no excess on one side and no deficiency on the other side, which is termed as Ifrat and Tafrit, which the other nations, they fell victim to and they committed that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this very unique dua, that we make this dua, that O Allah ta'ala, guide us towards the straight path. And what is the straight path? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains that, Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have favored. And further on in the Quran Majid it is mentioned that this is the path of those who are the Anbiya, Shuhada, Siddiqeen and Saliheen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is Siratul Quran, for example. Although the Quran Majid is definitely a source of and the main source of guidance for everybody, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions the path of those whom you have favored. So this indicates that through through kitabs alone, it is not sufficient for a person to get his complete hidayat, but it is the path of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have passed already, and the shuhada are a special group, the martyrs, but the siddiqeen, those who have attained the high levels of spiritual perfection, and the salihin, those who are the pious ones, they are in our midst. So, follow their path, and then you will get your hidayat. Then by way of elimination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further explains Sirat al-Mustaqim, that it is not the path of those who have incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nor the path of those who had gone astray. Referring to the Ahl al-Kitab, the Jews and the Christians. The Jews, they, because of their obstinacy and pride, they did not fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they were familiar with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they were the ghayril maghdubi alayhim. And the Christians, on the other hand, more because of ignorance, they went over the limits prescribed by Shariat, and then they went into the evil of ifrat, which means to cross the limits and to transgress the limits. So the Deen of Islam, he has taught us that we should abstain from ifrat and tafreet, excess and deficiency in any way, and that is the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So when we read this surah, every time we hear the surah being recited in salat, let us ponder over its meaning, because it gives us a glimpse and gives us and educates us concerning the whole, all the themes and all the objectives which have been outlined in the Quran-e-Majeed. Further on, Surah Al-Baqarah, a very lengthy surah, in fact, the longest surah of the Quran-e-Majeed. Half of it was recited last night, approximately half of it. And the surah is called Surah Al-Baqarah, because in the surah, Baqarah means cow. The incident of the cow, which occurred in the time of the Bani Israel, because of that, this surah has been given its name. The details of it are in the kitabs of tafsir, but the point here is that the surah has been named Surah Al-Baqarah to revive the memory of the great miracle which occurred in the time of the Bani Israel, where because a person was killed, and in the Bani Israel, they didn't know who the person was, and they went to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned that they must slaughter a cow, and a portion of the cow should be put onto the dead person, and he will then mention who had killed him. And the obstinacy of the Bani Israel are also mentioned later on, where they did not immediately adhere to this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they asked many questions, what type of cow and how must it be, what color must it be, etc. Well, the result, they put themselves into great difficulty, but eventually they had to do it, and the great miracle of was made manifest. Concerning the verses of the Quran-e-Majeed, a very brief summary of it, that in the first few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all starts Alif Lam Mim, which are called Huruf-e-Muqatta'at. Huruf-e-Muqatta'at, the meaning of it is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. All the tafsir kitabs, they mention Wallahu A'lamu bi-muradihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates to those people who are obstinate and refusing to accept the Quran-e-Majeed to be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they attribute it to be the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala indicates to them that you don't even know the meaning of basic alphabets and the meaning of it. And whereas you claim to be and you claim to be very expert and eloquent in the Arabic language, yet you don't even know this. So in the indication to that concerning the Quran-e-Majeed's veracity and truthfulness and the miraculous nature of the Quran-e-Majeed. Every surah throughout the Quran-e-Majeed, which begins with huruf-e-muqatta'at, that is these type of words, alif, lam, mim, or hamim, or whatever, these, immediately after that, we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the truthfulness and the veracity and the greatness of the Quran and Majid. Here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this kitab is such a kitab in which there is no doubt whatsoever. As if the dua which we are making, ihdina siratul mustaqim, and we want guidance. So Allah ta'ala says, what you are asking for, this it is contained in this kitab, and it is a guidance for the muttaqeen. Although this kitab is a guidance for the whole of mankind, but those who are true in their intention to receive that guidance, they are the muttaqeen. So a specific mention has been made of them, although it is a guide for all of mankind. Allah Ta'ala then mentions in the next three or four ayats the qualities of the muttaqeen. We hear over and over by our mashayikh that it is these qualities which make a person. It is not any other thing which makes a person, not his wealth, not his status, not his complexion, or his origins and nationality, but it is qualities. And these are the qualities which are mentioned right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we have to see whether we really have these qualities in the perfect sense or not. First one, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, that those who believe in the unseen. That is true belief, where we believe in the unseen. And the unseen is such where our minds cannot go till there. Whether we understand or not, but there is hereafter. There is Jannah, there is Jahannam, there is Pul Sirat, there is reckoning, whatever it is. And this is what is actually called true iman. The second attribute, iqamat ayuqimuna salat, perfection of salat. This is also very important, as many programs are held to help us to perfect our salat. Third quality, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and from that which we have granted you, they spend. Well, which we have granted them, they spend. Referring to spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, particularly discharging the obligations of zakat, etc. The fourth quality, they bring iman on that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last quality is that they bring iman in the year after, and they believe and have conviction in the year after. Allah declares, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. These are the people who are on hidayat, and these are the people who are the real and true successful ones. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the kuffar, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. All these have been mentioned to make us understand in a comparative way what is true iman and what is not iman. Kuffar is clear denial, and nifaq is hypocrisy, which is even a greater threat and danger than kufr itself. The enemy who you know is your enemy, that is easy to now to protect yourself from him. But the enemy from within, that is a hypocrite who professes to be a mu'min, but in reality he is a kafir. Allah Ta'ala in 13 ayat mentions 12 attributes of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And there's no time to go into the details, but each of these qualities and traits, we should see that these are not to be found within ourselves. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, that when they are told that bring iman as the people have brought iman. The Mufassirin explain that people refer to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and it is their iman which is the criterion and the scale to and the measure of true iman. What we understand to be iman is not necessarily true iman. What the Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood to be iman, that is the true iman. And we should see that all our actions and all our beliefs are in conformity to what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had understood. And as they were the first recipients and the first addresses of the message of Nabuwat and of the Quran and Majid. They, in response to that, these hypocrites, they say, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا, should we bring belief and bring iman as the fools have brought iman? Allah Ta'ala declares that they are in reality fools themselves who say such words. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in a general way mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ وَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, that, O mankind, Allah Ta'ala addresses all of mankind now, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala who has created you and created all of you, all of mankind before you. Allah ta'ala then mentions many of his attributes, and then the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid is also mentioned, that if you have any doubt in the Quran and Majid, then bring a surat like the Quran and Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you'll never be able to do so, you never did, And you'll never be able to do so till the day of Qiyamah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's being granted vicegerency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. There are many, many lessons to be understood from this great incident. And the main thing is that Allah ta'ala is actually making manifest the great honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the human race. From the fourth ruku onwards, right till about the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the Bani Israel, who are the Jews. They are called the Bani Israel, the children of Israel. Israel can be translated as Abdullah, the servant of Allah ta'ala. It is the second name of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Bani Israel, the Jews, are actually the progeny from Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since this ayat, the surah is a Madani surah, revealed after Hijrah, and because the Jews were resident in Madinatul Munawwara already before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam had come there, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them in great detail. Allah ta'ala mentions all his great bounties over them, and how these people, they were so obstinate and stubborn and refused to be obedient to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, and how they invited the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them. Great details of this has been mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is that Nabi who was accepted by all the people before Islam also, the Jews, the Christians, each one of them, they tried to affiliate themselves to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and they claimed to be on the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we put Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam through many trials and tribulations, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was successful in each of them. For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni ja'iluka linnas imama, that O Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we have made you an imam for the people. And this was, it was made manifest that all the religions, they regard Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to be the imam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ نَفْسَهُ, that person who turns away from the millat and the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is that person who is that foolish person. Only that person who is a foolish person turns away from the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, just before that, it was mentioned that Allah ta'ala instructed him to construct the Baytullah together with his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time he made some du'as, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. And then he made a du'a that, O Allah ta'ala, from my progeny they raise a Nabi. And it was made manifest by the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the true believers or true followers of the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam are those who are the Muslimin, those who are on Islam. In the next para, in the beginning of the next para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the incident of the changing of the Qibla. Initially, after Hijrat, for 16 to 17 months, the Muslims were ordered to face towards Baytul Maqdis, or Baytul Muqaddas as it is called. And this was the reason for it, the wisdom behind it, many ulama explained, was to incline the Ahl-e Kitab towards Islam. However, it was the heart's desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Qibla of the Muslims must be the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, that is the Baytullah. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention this clearly, this request. Perhaps it might be against the wisdom and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he constantly raised his eyes towards the skies in anticipation of wahi to come concerning the changing of the Qibla, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then changed the Qibla of the mu'mineen back towards the Baytullah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that Allah Ta'ala says that we will definitely put you to trials and tribulations and put you to test of conditions of fear, of hunger, and decrease in wealth and life and sustenance. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that glad tidings be for the sabireen, those who exercise patience in such instances. And when they are afflicted with conditions of adversity, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah Ta'ala says concerning them, Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim wa rahmah, that for them is the special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the end, Allah Ta'ala in the last ruku, Allah Ta'ala makes mention, Ya ayyuhan nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, that O people, eat from that which Allah has provided you from the earth on condition that it is halal and it is wholesome. It is pure and it is also wholesome and healthy. These are things what we consume has a direct effect on our actions. Therefore we should be particular that what we eat should always be halal and tayyib. May Allah Ta'ala grant us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله جل جلاله says in the noble Quran ولذكر الله أكبر verily the ذكر of Allah is the greatest. Commentary: Hazrat Qatada رضي الله عنه says لا شيء أكبر من ذكر الله, nothing is greater than the ذكر of Allah. تفسير ابن جرير عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال ما عمل آدمي عملا أنجى له من عذاب الله من ذكر الله. قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. قال ولا أن يضرب بسيفه حتى ينقطع, لأن الله تعالى يقول في كتابه ولذكر الله أكبر. رواه أحمد. حضرت معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ عنہ فرماتے ہیں آدمی نے عذاب الہی سے نجات دلانے والا کوئی عمل ذکر سے بڑھ کر نہیں کیا. صحابہ کرام رضی اللہ عنہم نے پوچھا اے اللہ کے رسول جہاد فی سبیل اللہ بھی نہیں؟ فرمایا ہاں جہاد فی سبیل اللہ بھی نہیں سوائے اس کے کہ جہاد فی سبیل اللہ کے میدان میں تلوار چلاتے چلاتے بہادری کے وہ جوہر دکھائے اور جان کی بازی لگا کر وہ زبردست مقابلہ کیا کہ تلوار بھی ٹوٹ گئی. تو ایسا جہاد ذکر اللہ کی برابری کرے تو کرے, کیونکہ اللہ جل جلالہ کا فرمان ہے قرآن کریم میں ولذکر اللہ اکبر. Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu once said, there is no action which can save one from the punishment of Allah more greater than the dhikr of Allah. Upon hearing this, one companion explained, not even jihad, waging war in the path of Allah. He replied, not even jihad, even if one continues striking with his sword until it breaks, because Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says in the noble Quran, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu once said, there is no action which can save one from the punishment of Allah more greater than the dhikr of Allah. Upon hearing this, one companion exclaimed, not even jihad, waging war in the path of Allah. He replied, not even jihad, even if one continues striking with his sword until it breaks, because Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says in the noble Quran, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.